Once again, so glad to have Rob with us today and his family. And Rob, I just want you to come and share a word with us today. We love you guys. It's been really good getting to know you, and we look forward to developing that relationship even further in the future. And so just come this morning and share a word with us today. We love you guys. Bless you. Amen. Amen. My pleasure. Love you too.
Thank you, sir. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Good to see you all. I grew up in church my whole life. I grew up old school Italian Assemblies of God. That's a whole nother level. Someone said one time, you have, it was a younger person said, you've got some cheeks. So back in the day in the church that I grew up in, all of the folks there, they used to pinch my cheeks and grab my cheeks, and I tell them that's why my cheeks, they're a little bit bigger than maybe what some people might have. Is that in church growing up, that was their hello, is they used to go ahead and grab my cheek like this and kind of pull on a little bit and say, oh, look at those cheeks, look at those cheeks. I've never lost those cheeks, and I'm glad that people still don't pinch my cheeks anymore, because that would just be weird, right? Amen. But thank you, Pastor Basil and Miss Kathy. We love you guys. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here with our New Life family. I feel like I already know you. And I don't know who made the breakfast casserole in the back, but that was just legit over the top. That was amazing. So thank you. That was incredible. And I think I'm actually probably going to preach better because of it. So that was amazing. But like I said, I've grown up in church my whole life. And I've been around a lot of pastors and a lot of ministers. And you all have some of the very best. And I mean that with all of my heart. Even our kids, they said that there's just something special about Pastor Basil and Miss Kathy in this church. So we don't take it lightly that we're here with you today, but can you please give it up and give your pastors a great big God bless you and clap for them and honor them? We honor you. We love you guys. Thank you. And I do want to take this time to introduce my family. This is my wife, Rachel. And then that is Joey, our oldest on the end. And then Michael on the other side, Mikey. And then there's Lily. And so I love you guys. Thank you for being here today. And they are our church planters. They've helped us plant Christ Chapel, and they are our team. But as we get started today, I've been so eager to be with you in my heart and to share a message from the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, he mentioned in the Bible many different times that I have an eager desire to be with you, to impart something to you. I myself don't have anything to give you this morning, but I do have a word from the Lord to give you this morning. So if you're ready to receive, let's all pray together. Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together as a church family. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this house. Thank you for pastors Basil and Kathy, and I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for this connection. Lord, I thank you that this morning that your people didn't come here to hear my words, but they came here to hear a word from heaven. So, Lord, I thank you right now in this moment that your people will hear exactly what you need them to hear this morning. Lord, I thank you that the entrance of your word, it brings light, it brings illumination. Lord, it brings encouragement. So I thank you, Lord, that today that this word is anointed. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the end result of our time together will be this, is that lives will be touched, lives will be impacted. Lord, that people will have joy for their journey and peace for their pace in life. So Lord, we thank you for it. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you don't know how to pray? Or is it just me? You're in a situation, you've read the Bible, you understand, okay, here's what some of the scripture says, but I need a specific, Lord. I need something right now in this moment. Maybe a situation where you don't know what to do. Maybe you're praying, you don't know all of the details. Lord, what's my next right step? What is my next right step? Or maybe you're facing spiritual opposition in your life and you need some divine assistance. This morning, the title of today's message is Take Your Seat. Take your seat. There have been times where I've been there in my life where I need to know what the next step is, Lord. And Jesus taught us how to pray in the New Testament. He said, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's another powerful prayer that the Apostle Paul shares with us, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. This is out of the New King James Version. There'll be scriptures on the screen for you, and then we'll just kind of talk about it here a little bit. If you have your device or your Bible app, if you want to pull that out, I will be using a couple of different translations this morning. But it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. Know what? What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand, where? In the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, in verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So this was a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying as he was in prison to the people at Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus. But it's also a prayer that we can pray over ourselves, over our spouses, over our children, over your pastors today. Well, how do you do that? Well, simply, let me walk you through that. You can simply say this. I do not cease to give thanks for Pastor Basil and Kathy. I thank the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that may give Pastor Basil and Kathy a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And you can personalize that prayer for you, for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your pastors, for anyone that you know that you might, you can pray that prayer over yourself. Just to be transparent with you, the past probably 3 or 4 months, I can't stay still behind the pulpit. I talk with my hands. I'm Italian. I have to move. So forgive me. This is like, you know, I have another one. So I want to like talk like this. And so I'm very animated at times, but I will behave this morning, I promise. But you can personalize these prayers for you and your family. The past several months, this is where my devotion time has been. I get up every morning, and there's another prayer that you can pray. It's Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church. Have a spirit of... So this is where I have been living. There's also some prayers in Colossians that, Lord, I just thank you that I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. How many you could use a little extra wisdom? Can I see your hand? Yeah, I'm believing God for wisdom and revelation. That just comes. It's talking about growing in your relationship with God. That God, I want to know you more and more every day. And as a church, as believers, as the Big C church right now, we need to grow in our relationship with him continually. You never ever hit a place in your walk with the Lord, in your relationship as a follower of Jesus, where you know it all. I've exhausted the resources of God's love. No, his love is never ending. It's like a diamond. I explained to a young adults group that we pastored for years. It's like a diamond, how you have this big diamond, maybe like a 2 or 3 carat diamond, a big diamond, and all of a sudden light just hits it just so well. Light permeates it, and then from the different cuts of the carat, you can kind of see different lights and different angles, and there's always a new angle to the love of God in your life. There's always something else that you can see. So this is what this is talking about here, that you would come to know the greatness of God's power in your relationship as you grow in him. Ultimately, it's the love of God which equals the resurrection power of Jesus that this verse is talking about. But I love this, is that it doesn't just say, oh, you have power, you have wisdom, you have revelation. No, this resurrection power is far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in any name. Any name. So what it lists there, principality, power, might, and dominion, That's the satanic system. That's the rank and order there. You have power over every devil, every demon, over every sickness, over every disease, over everyone that would come against you. Do we understand that this morning? The Lord is so powerful. But this is a prayer you can pray for yourself. But here's an interesting point, and I know you're well taught here and you're well educated, so I just want to remind you of some things this morning. That Jesus Christ, if He is the head and we're the body, then what He is over, we're over. What He is over, principalities, powers, mights, in any name, if He's over it as the head, as the body, so are we. So are we. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. This is out of the Modern English Version, if you're tracking with me. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and He raised us up, wait for it, and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see it? We need to take our seat. If we don't take our seat, it will remain empty. Or Satan might even try to steal your seat. Let me go a little bit further and be the boss of your life. And be the boss of your life. We need to take our seat. We need to take our God-given authority and use it on the earth. There's a saying, whatever will be, will be. It doesn't have to be like that for you and your house, for you and your family. If you're facing opposition in your life, if you're facing, sometimes you just get up in the morning, you can feel that there's an attack on you. Ever been there? And maybe you're facing some thoughts. Just because a thought enters your mind doesn't mean that it was your own. When the following thought, if you entertain it, the second thought is what you're responsible for. But a thought comes into your mind, you take authority over that. No, that doesn't line up with the kingdom of God. That doesn't line up that you have this alarming feeling or this anxiety or this fear that might creep up. No, 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 no. That's when you say, no, no, no. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. And I take authority over principalities, powers, and might. And whatever the source of that thought is, be gone from me now in the name of Jesus. And that's how you take care of the devil. We'll get into that a little bit further. But every day we need to wake up and we need to take our seat of authority in our own personal devotion time. Speak to your day. Don't let your day speak to you. Speak to your day. You have that power. You have that authority because it's your life and Jesus lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You let the devil know, no, no. This is the day that the Lord has made. I make a choice right now to rejoice and be glad in it. That whatever you might try to throw against me, no, 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 no. No, you have no place in my life, in my kids' lives, in my family's life, in our church, in this nation. No weapon formed or fashioned against us that can prosper. Amen? This is dominion. This is the kingdom of God. Have you ever been to a sporting event or a concert? I like going to, I'm a city boy. I like the big city. My wife, Rachel, she's like, every time I go to Boston, every time I go to a big city, she's like, you're like a kid in a candy store. Your face changes, everything changes. I love big buildings. I grew up right 15 minutes from downtown Boston. So I was in the North End, the Italian section on weekends with my car. We just hitting the Italian bakeries. If I'm going to be real with you, just hitting the bakeries, getting a cannoli, getting a lobster tail pastry, getting something, some cookies, some Italian cookies. So that's where, or some pizza. That's where I live my life. That was it. Lord, if I can just make it to downtown Boston, I'm good. But right there was the back then it was called the Boston Garden. So there's been times I've gone to the Boston Garden and I've gone to the Amway Arena here a few months ago. Joey and Mikey and I, we went down to Miami. The Boston Celtics were facing the Miami Heat in the playoff game. So they were asking, Dad, can we go? I took a look at the price of tickets and I was like, we'll take a look. But we were blessed at that time. So I got what they call nosebleed sections. Does anybody know what nosebleed section is? We were one, it was... we were one row away from the top. Like, we could barely see. Like, we had to look real close. Like, who's that playing? I can't tell. Who is that? What's that guy's name? So they knew. I had to get my phone and take pictures and zoom in. And they're zooming in on all the stars that were there and all the different people that I didn't know who they were. But I'm excited because we got there. And we're in the parking lot. We had to cross the street. So I'm preparing. You know, when I go to a sporting event or to a concert, to a large venue, I'm getting there. I'm going to get there early. I'm going to get in the parking garage. I'm going to get my parking spot. I'm going to walk into the building. I'm going to find out where the snacks are. You know what I'm talking about? I need to find out where, not just where the closest concession stand is. I want the best one, because the one that's always closest isn't always the best. And for me, it's about the snacks. Partially. It's about the game too, or the concert, or the venue. But then the next thing that's important to me, I want to find the closest restroom. And sometimes you got to go to the next one over because everyone's going to crowd, and that depending on where your seats are. So after you go through, you check out the snack situation, you check out the restroom situation, what do? You take your seat. You enjoy the concert. You enjoy the sporting event. As you walk to your seat, you have your ticket, you have your confirmation. You go to your seat, and someone's sitting in it. Have you ever been there? It's awkward. You're like, you have your confirmation. We have the Word of God. We have our confirmation. But here's the thing, is that the devil is trying to sit in your seat. He's trying to steal your seat. He's trying to sit in the driver's seat of your life so he can bring sickness and disease and confusion and chaos into your life so he can try to derail your destiny and steal your purpose. No matter what season of life you're in, you have a purpose, you have a destiny. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God's not finished yet. He has a purpose, and there's a divine purpose, a divine assignment on your life, no matter how young or how old you might be. Age is just another number. So someone's in your seat. For many believers, this is what they're experiencing in their life. But I just want to remind you in this, is that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He rose again so we could be made right with God. But he also purchased our seat, our healing, our freedom, our provision, our miracle, our breakthrough. So if he purchased it, then let's do all we can to walk in it. Amen? Why? Why all of this? Why is authority important? Why is taking my seat important? So that we can walk the kingdom, walk out the kingdom of God together. Every Christian, every believer, every disciple of Christ has authority in this world, on the earth. The problem is that many believers don't realize it, or they don't operate in it. Does that make sense? So, at this game, we made some observations at the Celtics game in Miami. About third quarter, after the Celtics were spanking the Heat, here's what happened. People started to leave the game. There were some vacant seats. So what people would do, if you were in the nosebleed section, you would kind of maybe spy out someone's seat, and if someone got up and left, or if they were gone for maybe 15, 20 minutes, all of a sudden someone would kind of creep down and be like, oh, that's my seat, I'm going to sit here and kind of look around, do the look around, hey, no one's watching me, we're good, I can take this seat. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, that's what Satan will try to do to us, is to take our seat. When you're not paying attention, when you're absorbed over here, when you're distracted, well, let me throw this at you. Let me throw this confusion, this situation, a little financial pressure here, a little political stuff here, all this other stuff in your life. Why? To try to derail your destiny. But we can take our authority. We can take our stand. My question to you today, has someone taken your seat? Have you allowed Satan to take your seat? Maybe some of you are having a hard time sleeping at night because there's anxiety, there's concern, there's symptoms. I've dealt with some of those things. You know, my history is that, and that's maybe another time, another place, I had a heart attack when I was 33 years old. God miraculously healed me that I don't have one sign or symptom of heart disease. So I dealt with anxiety. I dealt with the pressure of, you're going to die tonight. So when I'm sharing these things with you, it's from a place of where I've been. Not book knowledge, it's his heart knowledge and experience. And as a pastor, to your pastors, to you, I want to impart this to you, that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever seems impossible in your life, if God be for you, who can be against you, New Life Church? If God be for you, who can be against you? Whatever symptom, whatever thought process, whatever a doctor has pronounced over you, if God be for you, who or what report could come against you? I have EKGs that show heart damage and EKGs that no longer show heart damage. Not because of me, but because of his faithfulness. Because I chose to believe what the great physician said. Not just the doctors. And I trust the doctors. I love the doctors. I had some really good doctors. But I had the great physician. I had a relationship with the great physician who led me every step of the way very strategically in what I was to do. But there were some natural things, but there were some spiritual things. Had to take authority over some things in my life, over that fear, over that anxiety, because the devil would be like, oh, today's the day. Oh, you feel that pain? You feel this pain? You feel that? No. Here's what's going to happen. And that's how he tries to work in your life. The Bible says, give the devil no place. So how do we give the devil no place? Is that we take authority over him and say, not today. Not today, Satan. And here's the thing, back to someone taking your seat, back in the arena, get that picture in your mind. I'm not fighting against the person trying to take my seat, the natural person. The Bible simply says this, is that we're fighting against principalities, powers, and might, not flesh and blood. So who are we fighting with? Ephesians chapter 6, 12. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Listen to me if you would. Whenever we face a struggle, we're not fighting with people. Your fight's not with a person, but it's with principalities and powers and might. It's against the forces of the enemy. See, remember when Jesus was with the disciples and Jesus was telling the disciples, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. What did Peter do? Peter said, oh, no. He rebuked Jesus and said, Lord, let it not be so. Even Christians can mean well, can have good intentions, but say the wrong things. So what did Jesus say? He addressed Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. That's a little rough, isn't it? So I don't know, you know, if Peter's personal, get behind me, Satan. Man, if that was me, I don't know what I would have done if he said, get behind me, Satan. It's like, what? Jesus, I love you. I've committed my life to you. I've been doing this all these many years. He was speaking to what was behind the influence and the motive. So Peter was not possessed by Satan. Peter, at that moment, was actually being very carnal, coming from a place of, Jesus, I love you. It doesn't have to be so. No. No, they'll not do that to you. So even sometimes our fleshly, carnal desires, what we want, our motives, our desires, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, Satan can use those for his plan. So make sure our desires line up with the Word of God. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Every believer has the power over the powers of darkness. You have authority. How? All because of Jesus. Not because we're so good or so strong or so powerful. Everything in the believer's life points back to Jesus and what he did. Jesus purchased your seat. So today, as we look a little further into taking your seat, there's two responsibilities. Taking our seat corporately as a church family, and then taking your seat personally in your life and in the lives of your family. It's both. It's not either or, it's both and. We have a responsibility in our own personal lives, but we have a responsibility corporately. Would you say amen? So Jesus sent his followers out to their communities, to their cities, to their towns, to share the message of Jesus, but also to do the same works that Jesus did. So Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, simply reads this. Jesus had sent the 70 out, and now they're coming back with all the reports. When Jesus sent the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among the snakes and the scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Come on, somebody. Can we rejoice? Can you just lift up your hands and say, "Lord, I just thank you that my name is registered in heaven. Lord, I thank you that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified, that I'm set apart, that I'm set free. Lord, I thank you that my name is registered in heaven." So there's a lot in that scripture, and I don't want to get too much into it. But when it talks about snakes and scorpions, that's cultural talk. See, we have snakes around. We don't have scorpions. Here's the thing. Wherever they were on the dirt roads, there could be snakes or scorpions there. They'd have to kind of get them out of the way, shoo them out of the way, so they don't interfere with what they were doing at that time. Now, in the Bible, it also talks about how serpents and scorpions, and that can be satanic influences as well, that you have power to get them off your pathway, get them away from you and your family, that you can just kind of shoo them away with the Word of God, with the authority that you have. But a couple things I want to dig into here. This Jesus told them, "I have given you authority." What is authority? Webster's Dictionary defines authority as the power to influence or to command a thought. The Greek word for authority is exousia, which means power or dominion, or simply the right to exercise power. The right to exercise power. Authority is the right to command or exercise power. Authority is delegated power. Delegated power. So what is power? Let's break it down. Webster's definition of power is simply the ability to act or produce strength. The Greek word for power is dunamis, dynamite, where we get that explosive power, meaning power, potential, and ability. Authority is the right to exercise ability or the right to exercise strength. Without authority, you have no right to use power. So let me break it down. You're like, "That's great, Rob. That's awesome." Without power, your authority is meaningless. You have no ability or strength to produce something. So to make it simple, authority is having the right. Power is having the might. Jesus gave us both. Jesus gave us the power and the might to be able to do this. In speaking about serpents and scorpions, Jesus is talking about power over the devil, the demon, and every evil force that could come your way. We have authority and power over them all. How is it possible? Satan, every demon, every evil spirit, every spiritual enemy that you have is subject to the name of Jesus. Subject to the matchless name of Jesus. If you don't know whatever else to say in your life, if you're going through a struggle or a situation, there have been times at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, "Jesus, Jesus." I have nothing else to say. There's nothing else to pray. But there is power in the name of Jesus to break every spirit of depression, oppression, whatever's coming against you, every thought, every fear, every anxiety, every sense of Jesus. "Jesus, I need you. Jesus." And the Bible simply says this, that he is as close as the very mention of his name. And that's a promise that we can take comfort in. He is close as the mention of his name. If you need help in the middle of the night, if you need help in the morning, if you need help during the noontime, just say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. And he comes walking into the room. And he's right there with you. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And where he is, that's where the presence of God is. Where the presence of God is, there's that freedom, there's that liberty, there's that peace. Sometimes you don't need to know all the details. You just need the peace of God operating in your life, influencing your every thought, every decision, every motive. Just breathe it in. "God, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your presence." What that is that he understands that sometimes, you know, we can be emotional people. We have emotions. Emotions help us feel our way through life, but they're not supposed to ever lead us. Luke chapter 10, verses 19 was before Jesus died on the cross and rose again. What happened in these next few verses that I'm getting ready to share with you took place after Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day. This was just before Jesus was ascending into heaven. It's Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus was not only talking to the disciples back then, but he's talking to us today. Jesus has authorized us to go make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them, to disciple them, to obey what he said. That includes our sphere of influence, our circle of influence, the people in our community, those that might be around us that have need. I know that with this storm that just passed here, there's people all around us that might need help picking up limbs or might need a meal, might need something. And that's the doorway to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is by meeting those natural needs. Those are opportunities that we can take. And hey, that's just showing the love. That's the love of God in action. Because how many believe we're living in the last days? Can I see your hand? I believe that we are. And you know what? Every day is a day closer, depending on what everyone thinks about that. Every day is a day closer to the return of Jesus. And there's an urgency now for us as the church, as the body of Christ. All hands on deck. Everyone, come on, take your place. Get ready. Let's get together. Let's know our authority. And let's win lost souls to Jesus. And church, let's be the church. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means knowing our authority in Christ, but it also means holiness and purity and reverence in the house of the Lord. And I believe in the days ahead that we're going to see a restoration of the purity in the presence of God. That we're going to see a restoration of holiness in the church, in the Big C church, to where the Lord can have his way and move like he wants to move. Amen? The second part of Mark's account is Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, and I'm almost done. This is out of the New Living Translation. Mark's same account of what Jesus said to Matthew, in Matthew, to the disciples there. And he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to who? To everybody. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned." I love this part. "These miraculous signs will accompany some people." No, it doesn't say that. "These miraculous signs will accompany just pastors." No, I don't think it says that. Or maybe evangelists. No, maybe prophets. "These signs will accompany those who believe." Do we have any believers in the house today? "These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, and they will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they'll be healed." This is you. This is me. This is us together as the church, fully empowered, fully authorized, fully equipped to minister to those around us. But before it happens out there, it needs to happen in here. It needs to happen in every single one of our lives where we understand the power and presence of God. And if you're going through a hard time, that's where the Bible says that, hey, that two or three come together in my name. There I am, right there in the midst. And whatever we agree upon together shall be done according to my name. according to his great name. So I don't know what your needs are today, but there's power in agreement because every single one of us has authority. You have Jesus, you have Jesus, you have Jesus living in you. And if you're going through a moment of struggle right now, that's where, you know, you get together and have breakfast in the morning and other fellowship times. There's that strengthening. Iron sharpens iron, but there's that strengthening together as a church family that we need. Those times are important. I grew up in a big Italian home and we had one rule. There's always room for one more. There's always room for one more lost person to come in here and to become part of the family. Amen. These two passages of Scripture are Matthew and Mark's account of Jesus' last words. This is the very last thing that he said before he went to heaven. So as followers of Jesus, we're commissioned to go into the world. So be aware. Be aware of those who are around you. There was a mighty faith pioneer. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth came to know the Lord Jesus in the latter part of his years. And he had a powerful ministry. But towards the end, he had a prayer that he prayed. He said, Lord, bring me across the pathway of those who are closest to eternity. And what a powerful prayer to pray. Lord, those that don't know you, those who are closest to eternity that do not know you, let me cross paths with them so that I might speak to them, so that I might share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful prayer for us all to pray. And say, Lord, who do we know? Is it at the grocery store? Is it at Publix? Is it at school? Wherever it might be. Students, that means at school, at the lunch table, at the library. Adults, this means in your business, no matter where you find yourself, with your boss, with your team, with your family, with your friends, in your community, at the chamber event. As you share that with people that God loves them, that Jesus paid a price for them, people will come to know Jesus and believe in them. Then it's our job from there. I don't believe in spiritual orphans. I don't believe in just getting someone born again or leading them to Jesus and pray a prayer and say, see you when I see you. No, it's our job to disciple them. I can't make anyone do anything, but I can lead them to their next step. Would you come with me? Would you come to church with me? Would you come to this fellowship time with me? Would you come hang out? And then getting around other believers, there's another connecting point. There's more fellowship time, and the power of presence of God is there to meet every single one of those needs. To lead people, to encourage them to take their next step in their journey with Jesus. To get people baptized, to fill with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. To lead others to Christ. These next few verses, as we close, are what we can believe God for. In the name of Jesus, we can cast out demons. That's not just like third world mission strip stuff. I've done that here locally. That's another story, another time, another place. There's a boldness that comes with authority. And I think Americans are really deceived to think, oh, there's no demons, there's no demonic activity here. There is. It's all around us. That's why you have to know your authority. That's why we have to operate in something called discernment. Even concerning things concerning our nation and politics, you have to know. You have to know on the inside, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you saying to me right now? Which way should I go? And the Lord will lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you on the inside to what your next step is, what you are to do, what you need to do in this situation, and he'll give you that wisdom and that revelation in the knowledge of him so you can walk out the perfect will of God for your life. Then after that, after we cast out demons, we'll speak in tongues. See, there's a personal prayer language, the gift of tongues, and then you all are well-versed in this. You have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, the gift of tongues, and they're both to edify us and edify the body. So personal and in corporate. So I want to encourage on this. If you're not filled with the Spirit, Pray about that. Read Acts chapter 2. There is a benefit. There is a blessing. I do not want to go through life right now not being spirit-filled, not praying in tongues. Because when my soul tries to get anxious, when I'm using my authority, I pray in tongues. And I say, Holy Spirit, you have your way right now. And I take authority and I pray out the perfect will of God. But when I don't know the words to say in English, you know what I do? I pray in tongues. And I say, God, I trust you right now to pray out what needs to be prayed out, to take care of with your sovereign will what needs to be taken care of in my life right now. And he does because I trust him. He does that. We do that by faith. As we close, here's what I want to share with you. If we don't know about the seat that Jesus purchased for us, that we're supposed to sit in, it's a position of power and authority, not based on how good you are, but based on what he did. We don't sit in it. Satan will try to sit in it. And he'll try to bring sickness and disease and confusion and lack and strife and bitterness. That's my desire for you. I hate to see people struggle. See, as a boy growing up, my dad had a massive heart attack when I was 10 years old. I've been in the hospital my whole life with my dad. My dad passed away the same week that Rachel and I got married, almost 22 years ago. October 14th, it'll be 22 years. I spent a good part of my life in the hospital, seeing people hooked up to machines and hearing beeps and seeing people code and all these other different things. And I hate to see people suffer. That's the pastor's heart in me, is that I hate to see people struggle. And I don't want to see people struggle. I don't want to see you struggle. I don't want to see you go through hard times and strife and to go through having to deal with sickness and disease and chaos and confusion and anxiety and bitterness. I want you to be free. That's what I want to impart to you. That's what I want to share with you. I want you to be free. And I know Jesus wants you to be free. And I know your pastors want you to be free. Free from anything else that would cause sickness or pain and anything in this life. He wants you to be free more than anything else. As an assistant pastor, I was an assistant pastor for years, about 14 years. And I was part of my responsibility was to go see everyone in the hospital. I've been there for more people's last moments than I ever want to be. I've done more funerals than I hate seeing people suffer. But thank God for Jesus, who paid a price, who made a way for you to not be tormented by thoughts, to not be plagued by sickness and disease. I like to say it like this: anything good in your life comes from the Lord. Anything bad in your life comes from the devil. And you have power over the devil. The Bible says this, is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So every story, everything that you've been through, write it down. My dad had a book, and it was a 5-subject notebook of the Lord's provision, and it was called Look What the Lord Has Done. My grandfather led the orchestra at the Italian church in Boston, and he had a songbook. He led a 132-piece orchestra, and his Italian songbook, his hymnal book that he wrote the songs and led from the violin from, was called De Lodo Dio, the Lord God. I've seen the goodness of God. I know the faithfulness of God. My desire for you today is that you would operate in that, that you would know how much God loves you, that you would know his desire for you to walk in freedom, to have the breakthroughs that you need in your life, for you to walk in divine health and healing, that when you decide that, hey, when the Lord calls me home, then that'll be the moment of your last breath. But until then, there's purpose in every breath, in every season, in every situation. You know, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't know your story. I don't know what you've been through in life. I don't know your stuff. There's a question that comes up. How do you unseat Satan? How do you use your God-given authority? And the way that you use your authority is simply this. Devil, I take authority over you now in the name of Jesus. You tormenting thoughts, I bind you and I curse you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. I take authority over depression and oppression. This pain that I have in my body, I take authority over that in the mighty name of Jesus and I curse it and I cast it out. If you're dealing with things in the lives of your kids, moms and dads, you have authority. You have a place of authority over the lives of your children and your grandchildren. That, Lord, even this lost one right now, I thank you, Lord, that you'll bring laborers across their pathway. And devil, I serve you. Notice, I take authority over your influence and I break your power in their life in the name of Jesus. And that's how you deal with the devil. That's how you take your authority. But don't wait until you're facing opposition. I want to share with you today that you are fighting from a place of victory. You're not fighting to get the victory because of what Jesus did, because of his great love. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't know your story. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus today. This is a holy moment. You sense the presence of God in this room right now. Understand this, is that God loves you so very much. That he sent his very best. His son Jesus. Jesus came as God in the flesh and he walked on this earth 33 and a half sinless years. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was whipped. At any time, he could have said, stop. But he didn't. He took it all just for you, just for me. Because that's how much God loves you. That's how valuable you are. Because you have a purpose. You have a destiny. We're all born into this world, on this earth, sinful by default. So that's why Jesus came. But I'm so thankful that Jesus took those stripes on his back that represent health and healing and forgiveness of sin. That breaks the strongholds in our lives. And then he died. But I'm thankful he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay in a hopeless situation. Oh, 3 days later, he rose again. And when he rose again with your purpose and to your with your destiny. And he rose again with the keys to the kingdom of God, defeating principalities, powers, and mights, and spoiling them and making a show of them openly so you can walk in freedom, so you can be made right with God. So when you breathe your last on this earth, it'll be your first in the presence of your Savior. You might say, Rob, I've been in church my whole life and I want to congratulate you. I think that there's some really, really good people in church and church is a great place to be. But just because you take up space in a row and on a pew or taking up a seat, it doesn't mean that you're saved or have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, I tithe and I give offerings and I give up my time. I think that's honorable and I think that that's so noble and those are good things. You might even say, well, I've been a good person my whole life. My Bible says that good people don't go to heaven, but forgiven people do. So if you're here today, maybe you've never made that decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you say, hey, things haven't been right. I've been wrong for too long. It's time to get right. The arms of the Father are wide open, ready to receive you, ready to love you. And I know these pastors as well, ready to love you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, you want to receive Jesus, I'm going to count to three and I want to see your hand. And we're going to pray a prayer together. And I believe that you'll receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And today will be a new day for you. One, two, three. No one looking around but me. If that's anyone here at all, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life back to Him. I see that hand. You can put that hand down. Anybody else want to join our one friend this morning? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up here, do anything publicly. I'm going to honor my word to you. Anybody else? Awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. And church family, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me and to pray with our friend here. And as you do, I'm going to ask you to use something called faith. Faith is simply this, a trust, a belief that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. When you sat down on that bench, you don't know the construction of the bench per se. You don't know the dynamics of that bench. You just knew that when you sat down on it, you weren't going to fall down. It was going to hold you up. This prayer, this faith that you're putting in the sacrifice of Jesus, you're praying this in faith with your belief, with your trust that God will save you, that He is your Lord and He is your Savior and He is making all things new. So let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You died on the cross just for me. I ask You to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I repent of my sin. Now, Lord, I ask You to help me to live a life that honors and pleases You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we celebrate with this one person? Give him a great big hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I believe that that prayer that you prayed today, whether you accepted Jesus or you rededicated your life back to Him, I believe that Jesus made all things new in your life. I want to give just two more minutes of instruction if I could. It's important for you to tell somebody. Say, hey, I prayed that prayer today. That was me. And here's why. Because you have an enemy of your soul that's going to say, you know what? Nothing really happened. And that you didn't change. You still thought these things and you still maybe said some of these things or you acted like this, which was really, really not so good. The devil's a really good accuser. So I want to tell you, go ahead and share with somebody because you need people in your life to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If this isn't your church, this needs to be your church. We want to say, welcome home, welcome to new life. Make sure you say hello to Pastors Basil and Kathy afterwards. But if you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you, download the Bible app. And a good starting place, you need to get the Word in you every day. So a good starting place is the Gospel of John. The Bible is broken up into two sections, Old Testament and New Testament. If you're having a hard time sleeping, go to the book of Numbers or Deuteronomy. But as a new believer, go to the New Testament. It's the fourth book in. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the Gospel of John. Why? Because the author John there has a revelation of how much God really loves him. He actually calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. So it's a great place to understand that, hey, God loves me regardless of what I've done. And I'm not going to act like I did before. Every day I'm going to take the right steps and get around the right people and make some new decisions, some better habits. But every day I'm going to read the Gospel of John so I can understand a little bit better, a little more every day as I grow in my relationship with Him of how much He loves me, how much He loves me. So congratulations. We love you all. We're praying for you. Thank you, Pastor Basil. It was an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you, New Life family. And it's an honor and a privilege to be with you here today. And I'm going to give it back to Pastor Basil. God bless you.